Would you care to step outside?
We did it today.
Superman!
That's right, I'm raised.
You are here. The lasso of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
You have failed this city.
What's up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on RMD, the Arrow edition on Rain Man Digital. You can find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes. Whenever you guys get there, go ahead and remember to subscribe, rate, and review the show. It helps us out a lot. We appreciate it, and it moves us up in those rankings. Now, I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
And it's just me and the Bobster today.
Yeah, Angelica's a little busy, couldn't make it today, so hold it down.
We'll hold the fort down. We'll talk about this episode of Arrow, which, man, I feel like we keep getting hit in the feels a little bit. Just a little bit. Not crazy.
Yeah, well, they're following a pattern, and it's a pattern that I appreciate.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the pattern. I think, you know, we were really concerned, too.
Instead of villain of the week, it's...
Holy shit, how can you kick us in the nuts?
No, it's more like memory lane of the week.
Member Barry of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think we kind of knew that, right?
Yeah, it's the only way to end it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only way that makes sense. Today, we will be breaking down and discussing Arrow Season 8, Episode 3. Thank you for changing that literally while I was reading it.
Is it 3?
I think it is 3. Okay. Yep. The episode is Leaf of Faith.
Fucking Ron Burgundy over there would have read 1. It's a season premiere again.
We're on episode season premiere for the third time this week. So it's Episode 3, Leap of Faith. This one was directed by Katie Cassidy.
Yep.
And written by Emilio Ortega Aldrich and Elizabeth Kim. Yeah. Katie did a pretty good job.
I don't think it matters at this point.
Let me ask you this, okay? Like, I'm curious. I'm always curious when, like, the stars come in and, like...
This is a credit.
Yeah. Is it a credit thing? Or do they actually, like...
Well, okay. So, I don't... It hasn't been this show, but on other shows,
yeah.
Like I reference a Kevin Smith podcast that he talks about that I am just there to be a cheerleader and root on the team it is a machine. It's a factory that I really can't make changes that, you know, the guy that runs the camera and the cinematography already has the shots that they want. I'm just there to be like, hey, can you do it one more time with some emotion?
Right. Right.
You know, they're not making like
huge, like monster, you know,
the
decisions.
Stereotypical, like, let me frame this out with my fingers. I believe the camera should be right here.
Oh my God. I always wondered about that because it does happen too. Like even on like Supernatural and shows like that, you see these, you know, people come in and do like a directorial and I'm like, is it just them just sitting there and like pretending or like, is it just for the credit? Or I always wonder about that too.
At the end of the road, like when it gets to the end, I really think it's just like, hey, we're going to do you a solid. We'll throw you an episode.
That makes sense.
Because Diggle's done a couple. I think he has a second one coming up.
Oh, really? Okay.
Over on Flash, Danielle Panabaker's done a couple.
See, if it were me, I'd be like, so this is where my character says I have a huge penis.
I don't think that's a director.
That's not how it works.
No, I'm pretty sure that would be a writing credit.
Oh,
like, this is where I make out with all the hot chicks.
I'm down for that one. All right.
Come here. Like, how does this make sense? I'm like, I don't know. They got the love potion.
Come here, Thea.
I need poison ivy.
This is where my character makes out with Thea for an extended period of time. 13 hours.
It's 44 minutes of make out.
Oh, my God. Anyways, let's talk about, we're going to do a Tarantino here and talk about the ending first. This was, to me, Bob, and I don't know, I can't speak for you, but this was confusing because I wasn't sure if Oliver, Black Siren, and Diggle went forward in time or if Connor, Mia, and William went back in time. So I was a little, I don't know.
Mm. I think they came the other way. They came to today.
So you think that Connor came back?
Yes. The lab or the thing was today. It was modern. Not modern, but today's version of the bunker.
Well, the thing is, like, their version was green, too. So they had, like, the green accents.
I know,
so
but they had, like, other shit in it, if I remember right. You know, that was older looking, you know, more run down.
Right.
Because you remember, it's like a found bunker.
So I think the thing that really...
I wanted to, like, honestly, I thought they were dead.
You thought they died?
I thought it was the, like, the awakening or whatever the fuck we want to call.
Oh, the undertaking?
Yes. Like when it happened, I was like, oh, their world's gone.
Oh, well, they fucking dead. Fuck them.
Like, I don't know. I was just like, maybe that was it. Maybe I was just hopeful.
I think the thing that really confused me is time travel in general. So
is this time travel?
It has to be, right?
I guess if you jump in any semblance of.
If they go back in time, it's time travel.
Yes.
I think the thing – now, here's the difference in this time travel. This is my headcanon here, so don't judge me too much.
There's only babies running around.
No. This is time travel activated by the monitor. The monitor is a cosmic being, right?
Okay.
So I don't think there's going to be repercussions for this time travel because of the fact that he's the one that initiated it. Now, when you have Barry run back in time – or forward in time.
And he's using the speed force.
He's using the speed force. It's different. And he is not a cosmic being. He will fuck shit up, as we've seen over on Arrow. Flash.
Why would the monitor want them there?
There has to be a reason. I don't think he does this for no reason, but I also think here's my two thoughts on it. There has to be an underlying reason. It has to be a good one. Now, if this is I swear to God, I'm going to be really pissed if it's the second option. If it is to get Oliver in the same room as a grown-up William and Mia, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. And the same thing with Connor. I am going to with like Diggle, I am going to be like...
Diggle's like, where's my son?
Yeah, where's my son? Oh, yours is the one that's fucking crazy.
Like Diggle doesn't even know he adopts this dude at this point.
No, he has no idea. Maybe this is why. Maybe this is why he adopts him.
Well, and we got to wonder where Diggle is.
Oh, it's true.
Wait, that doesn't even make sense for time travel. This is why I met him as an adult, so I figured why not? Let's adopt this fucker.
But that's how time travel is weird, though. It makes sense, right?
Sure, if you believe in time. I mean, it's not like time travel's real.
Well, right, of course.
So, you know, we've seen that from many different movies here lately. We'll make up our own canon and we get to make out with our niece.
I wonder what movies you could be talking about. See, I was always under the impression I'm still sticking with the fucking Back to the Future, like logic on time travel. Like I always thought that when Marty told his parents, you know, not to get mad at him for lighting the rug on fire, like they never did, you know, like I feel like I'm just going to be really pissed off if he brought them there and it's only to put Stephen Amell on the same screen as his two kids in the show. Like, I don't want that to be the reasoning. Oh, you get to meet your kids. Like, that is poop. I will be really, really upset if that is the reason. Now, if they made this move for a bigger logical reason and that they needed to, which I have no fucking clue what it could possibly be. So don't, like, I'm saying this. I have no speculation on what it could be.
Yeah, like, I have no fact or anything to back this up.
No, I have nothing here, guys, that I want to see in this portion because literally I think you guys know that how we feel about the future stuff. Now, lately, the future stuff's been good. I will say that.
She gets a little annoying, and Angelica talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah,
she's still just like, meh.
She has that honestly, bitchy vibe, dude.
Oh my gosh. See, it's almost like you were on the show last week. I said that she was a rival cheerleader in cheerleader movie.
It's already been brought in. She is, dude. She has that resting bitch face, and then she has the same exact attitude of like a rival. Yes, that is 100% a accurate assessment.
Yeah. So. It's just like, cause we know that they're doing the, you know, the Canaries not crossover spinoff.
Right.
And it was always the question of how are you going to get Black Siren, the Black Canary and Oliver's kid in a show.
This could be it.
Yes, this could be it. What I thought was weird was that they killed off Wild Dog's kid.
Dude, okay, I didn't see that coming, by the way.
No. And then, like, oh, cool, everybody's kids from the future's coming. Hey, look, it's the kid you don't know you adopted yet. Yo, where's my daughter?
Hey, where's
You know that's going to be a thing next week.
Oh, man, that's going to be rough, dude.
Yeah. She just got, like, would you lie?
You have to, right?
She's back home.
Well, like, you have to lie not only for...
Or how bad of a dick would you be if you completely spaced out because you're like, where the fuck am I?
Hey, Diggle, you know your kid stabbed Renee's kid. Yeah. Pretty fucked up, right?
Yeah. Don't worry. My dad could beat up your dad.
I think you have to lie, dude, because not only is it affecting Renee, it's affecting Diggle too. Like,
yeah, that your seed, not this kid you adopted,
yeah,
killed one of your own.
Oh man, that's rough.
I don't know. But honestly, I think this is going to somehow lead into the spinoff. And
it has to somehow. And
because why go to the future? Because what the problem is like, if they're going to keep this Arrowverse alive after these things disappear, of course we know we're going to get crossovers.
Right.
If they go to the future in 2041 or 2042, whatever year we're in now, mm-hmm. it does us no good because then they can't cross over with this Canary shit.
Right. They have to go back in time. I think
that's so. Yeah. I wonder if she's going to stay in this timeline and they're just going to just like buy it off and I don't know, somehow have dual Mias being born because one is 6 months old and the other one is now.
She's going to pull whatever. She's going to pull a fucking Trunks from Dragon Ball Z, dude, where he's a baby and then like, oh my God. And then he comes back from the future. Yikes.
Well, right. Like, I just don't know what the logical reason behind it is.
I don't either. That's why I kept saying, like, I have no actual reasoning on why they would be there in the first place, why the monitor would even do that, other than, you know, again, for dumb bullshit TV reasons. Well, they want them to be a part of the crossover or, you know, oh.
We'll bring them over in episode 7, not episode 3.
Yeah, like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. Man, it's fuck.
I just don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
on the same page.
It was a confusing, like, thing for me.
Now, the other thing that is very interesting, and this is probably the most interesting thing about the future, is the JJ Connor storyline. You know, obviously Diggle adopts Connor.
Okay. Before we get too much into this, ooh, did you think that the mom was gonna die this week? When they were trying to do the rescue and all that other shit.
I
thought this was going to be like the origin story of how they adopt.
I thought maybe she might get killed. It took me, honestly, dude, it took me when he walked into the room with them. I was like, oh, that's fucking Connor. Oh, because I just wasn't really like.
Because it was like a real quick, like Bronze Tiger's kid and wife have been, you know, taken at the very beginning.
Yeah. I thought maybe she might die just because then it would make sense, like, why he adopts.
Or one of them kill him.
Oh, man, that's fucked up.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you're not wrong. I don't know. I think the big thing about this episode, it's a weird dynamic, if that makes sense. Like, you've got your kid that you raised, right? We'll air quote that because we don't know yet, but let's just assume it. And then you've got the kid that, you know, you adopt. And I'm just a little weird about, like, obviously they had to have grown up together, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's why I assume that the murder or whatever was going to happen would have happened right now.
But have we even seen JJ in a while to know how old he is? Because I feel like the last time we saw him, he was a baby.
Yeah, I still think he would be in that age. And so that would make Connor a little bit older than him.
Okay, yeah, but when you look at them and didn't he call him little brother? Didn't JJ call Connor little brother? That would make no sense.
I don't remember.
I swear to God, I thought he did. I thought for sure he did.
But so, okay, let's time travel this shit real quick again. What does that mean again for that storyline? If Young Justice is now wherever they are,
it just, fuck. Because that was one of the most interesting parts of the future.
Well,
yeah. Was their story arc.
Yeah, to figure out what the Deathstroke gang and all this was. But again, if there's no...
Does it just dwindle away and we just supposed to forget about it? Or
like, yeah, is this a write-off? Like, what happened?
I hope not, dude. Because that was actually kind of intriguing. I want to know how they got the name the Deathstrokes. Like, there's got to be a reason for that, right?
Well, probably just like the Dread Gang.
I guess it's true.
You know, it just, they took it over. The time travel thing in just in general, it's some, like, I think every time this episode, and again, I was anticipating the mom's death. It was like Hot Tub Time Machine. with goddamn, we're making a bunch of Back to the Future references.
We really are. But
because Glover or Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
And you know he doesn't have an arm.
Right.
And you're just waiting for the arm to fall off or get chopped off and whatever.
This is how it happens.
Yes. And that's what I was waiting. I was like, oh, he's going to die. Somebody's going to shoot him. Somebody's going to shoot her and they're going to take over the kid. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. But.
But did you think they played that up on, for like for real?
Like
to like knew that you were going to think about that. And then they just went ahead and like fucked with you the whole time.
I think yes, probably a little bit that they wanted to create that anticipation of something's going to happen. You know, would be my idea of it. Cause why else do this whole thing other than to get Diggle and Lila on a side mission to go rescue these people? I don't know.
It's a little weird.
It's going to be one of those things that will either look back fondly or like be very angry at this episode.
I think, yeah, you're right, dude.
When all's explained, because it left at such a weird, space, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, I don't know what to think. I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I don't.
And the way they do it is it's one of those things where it will affect. It will be affected by future things that happen in the show.
Yeah.
And if you go back, like if it's done well, you're going to be like, oh man, that was really cool. You go back and start thinking about it. Oh, it's like, oh, that was really done well. But if what's goes forward isn't that great, you're going to go back and go, God, that was fucking shit. And that's such a shitty way of like writing yourself into like a handcuff.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do well going forward, then everything you did before that looks like poop. That's tough, dude.
Yeah. Well,
that's real tough.
We'll see how. That twist works out for us.
Guys, help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon.
Show them boobies.
You want me to show boobies?
Oh, no. I'm saying like I would grow.
Oh. From now until the end of the year, we are asking for our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. Guys, $1.
Like our entertainment. Like,
yeah.
Do you not like us?
Yeah. In order.
Like, we're not worth a dollar. We give you hours and hours in entertainment.
Yeah. Like, the dude.
$1 will keep us in chairs that we keep breaking.
Would you buy us for a dollar? $1.
I'm cheaper than a Starbucks.
100 pennies. He is cheaper than a Starbucks. He's in more ways than one.
I was waiting to see, like, four quarters.
I was going to keep going.
20 nickels. No, that's 20 nickels is right. I was like, Jesus, did I just do that wrong?
You might have. In order to keep the network alive, we needed 100 subscribers, guys. That's 100 of you guys donating $1. So help us keep the lights on by heading over to www.patreon.com/RainManDigital and check out all the podcast descriptions of the episodes for details. Guys.
By the way,
$1.
When you get more stuff from us when you do it, it's not just give us a dollar. We do shit.
Yeah. Like I will do a jig for a dollar.
No, that's not actually on the tier.
Oh, that's not a thing.
That's not a tier.
I thought we made that a thing.
Ryan do a jig tier.
That sounds, never mind. I would do it. I would do it. I will do a jig for a dollar.
I will make you holla for a dollar.
Guys, $1 helps us so much. It really, really does. Please, please head over to patreon.com and do that for us, please. Thank you. All right. Okay. So now one of the things that – so obviously you guys know that Bobby and myself and Angelica, we all text each other, right, when we watch these shows. And typically, Bob, I think you typically watch it before Angelica and I do.
Uh-huh.
And then you always get our text from – and I sent you a text after watching this episode – and I basically said, is Arrow just a trip down memory lane? And this episode was pretty much that. In the bulk part of the episode, obviously we talked about the ending first, but the bulk of the episode was memory lane. Thea comes back. And I just got to say that Thea in them black jeans, oh my God. She looks phenomenal.
I was trying to figure it out because this is the first time I've seen her in long hair in forever.
Yeah.
Like, if she just looked like well-rested and stuff, because, you know, she looked like she was burning the candle at both ends at some point.
She looked like she was a little burnt out. Yes, that would probably be the best way to describe it.
Or strung out, whatever.
Or strung out. But, man. The long hair. She looked fucking steamy this episode.
Yeah, no, she definitely brought a lot back. And we joke about member berries, but I don't think I have an issue in the member berries that we're doing. We knew Thea was out there doing something. They aligned it to, you know, her being done with the pit.
Right.
And Oliver needing some answers and thinking that, you know, there was more about this cosmic being out there.
Yeah.
And so there's times when I'm sitting there and I'm waiting, because if you remember, William in the beginning of the flash forwards last year went back to Nanda and got the arrow, or, you know, got the quiver, not the quiver, or the bow,
the bow.
And I was like, is he going to leave it there? Like, you know, I'm in that mode of like, I'm looking for things that completes the circle of what we've seen.
No. Hold on. William went to, the island, not Nanda Parbat. Nanda Parbat is the where the league is.
But, sorry.
No. But I could see where you could, because I got confused for a second on that too.
I should have known that, because I talked about the stabbing thing, and that's why he climbed the wall and said, "Don't fall this time."
Yeah,
my bad.
That's okay.
Sorry. What's the island called?
The island is why am I blanking right now? Hold on, I'm Googling it. Leon Yu.
Okay.
Yeah. So Nanda Parbat is where the temple is for the assassins.
Okay.
And then Leon Yu is the island.
My bad.
Nah, that's all good, dude. But I think the biggest thing with this, and I think you're right, Bob. I do think you're right. I think member berries are okay if it's for a good reason. Now, clearly this is Willa's goodbye to, you know, Steven Amell. This is their on-screen time together.
They have to film those goodbyes as the last scene they do together, right? Because Steven Amell keeps looking like he's
gonna cry.
Yeah, because with the mom.
Yeah, dude.
And, you know, Tommy, and now this.
Ugh.
I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this man isn't acting. He's crying.
Yeah, he's this, like, this is legitimate emotion. This is not like him acting, right?
Yeah.
It's so weird too. Like, I guess I get it in a sense. Like, I do, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you're an actor, but I know this has been part of his life. So it makes, yeah,
you know, especially when they all moved to Vancouver and this is what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks, there's a few scenes where you're like, fuck.
Yeah. No, when he said goodbye, I was just like, holy shit.
It was really fucking emotional. Ugh. Even when he's like, I left my family behind. I missed them. I was like, oh, good. Why are you ripping my heart out of my chest? Ooh. Like, he is killing it with the emotions.
Well, yeah. And I think Angelica brought up last week when he keeps making these quotes about leaving these things. Like, is he really like centering on the crew and everything else as being the family.
Oh.
You know, and that's where, like, what his emotions are really coming from.
Yeah.
Is that he's really going to be leaving all these people behind. That they've built this whole thing off of now that we have 17 shows and not one of them says.
Oh. It's really starting to set in, dude.
Yeah, I mean.
We have, what, 7 episodes left?
Yes.
Dude, it is like, every time I see him, it's like, fuck, dude. This is rough. This is rough because I don't know. I mean, I know how it's going to end, but I don't know how it's going to end. You know what I mean?
Okay, so we'll bring the thing up from the bottom right now.
Okay.
So with Felicity returning for the finale, do you think it's really going to end like we think it's going to end?
You know what? I'm going to do both sides. I'm going to play both sides.
Okay. This.
Okay. So.
Okay. Before you get started, okay. Not to interrupt, but we got to remember she walked through the portal too at one point.
Right.
Okay. Go.
Okay. I think they could go two ways here. Okay. One of which I don't want to happen. One of which, I'll do the one I don't want to happen first. That somehow Oliver and the team figure out a way where he doesn't die. And him and Felicity ride off into the sunset. Kind of like they tried to do a couple seasons ago.
Then he shows up in 1940 with one arm.
Yes. Something, but you know what I mean? Something like that. They could do that. I would hate that, though. I think he has to die. But it has to be like one of those, like, end of Terminator 2. Like, slow-mo, like...
He's going to die in lava?
But you know what I mean.
I know. I'm just...
Like, the slow-mo, like, or he wilters away, or, like, he made the sacrifice, and this is how he goes, and he's made his peace with it, and everyone's made... And he, like... But it's got to be like cameras on him, everyone standing around, and he gets his final on screen like goodbye, and it's like emotional, and everyone's watching. You got obviously, you know, you got everyone on the team, Supergirl, Barry, like everyone's watching him in this moment, his Robert Downey Jr. moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what has to happen, in my opinion. I do not want. It's going to sound so bad, but I do not want the happy-go-lucky ride off into the sunset ending. I don't want it. It can't happen. Because by doing that, there's always going to be that one fan or that one person. Well, he's still alive in the universe. He could come back at any time. Okay, dude, look. It's not happening. He's not coming back. It's not a thing. So it has to be that I made the sacrifice. I made the team play. And you give him his final send off. And I think with Felicity coming back, they're trying to like swerve. I think it's a swerve.
You think she's just there to be like a reflection? Yes. Or a goodbye thing?
Yes. I think it's a swerve. I think if they want it to be emotional and they want it to be done correctly, you give Stephen Amell the one final send off with everyone there watching him as he's sent off. I think that's the only way you do it. It makes sense.
But historically speaking,
I know
the vocal minority has shaped the show.
Shame on you, vocal minority. Shame on you.
So, like,
I swear to fucking Christ,
will the shippers rule this?
I swear to Christ, ending. I swear to fucking Christ that if they rule this ending, I will be so pissed off. It may ruin the show for me.
Like we're going like Game of Thrones, the yes. Ending that doesn't matter what you've ever done before.
Yep. Completely. I will block out literally anything from season 2 and on. It will never exist in my mind. Like
in my personal record book, these seasons never happened.
Yes. Like, because let's be completely honest. And we've said it before. The last amazing, solid, like amazing where holy shit was season 2.
Well, yeah, and then the first 10 episodes of last year.
Yes. So, for me...
But, yes, it's been a while since a complete season has been told.
I'm telling you right now, if they do that, I'm going to be really upset. I'm going to be really, really, really upset. Like, it makes sense for her to be there to send him off, but I swear to God, if she's there for the shippers to... Because, oh my God, they've got to be together. No, they fucking don't.
True love overpowers all.
No, it doesn't. motherfucker, there's guys who die in Afghanistan and their true love is still here in the United States. Happens every day. It's daily life.
And their wife.
Yeah. Stupid. Anyways, real life doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. I know you guys want to think the Princess Bride is a real thing and, you know, true love, but it really, it's too blave. Okay. Do you like that analogy?
There you go.
That's pretty good, right? So yeah, I don't know. It better not be that. I'll be pretty fucking pissed.
Just get a nice mutton sandwich.
The BLT. Oh God. Oh my God. You are the Brute Squad. Anyways. Okay. Let's talk about the return of Talia. With them nice tight leather pants she had on. Well, I can't tell if she's hot or not. Is she hot?
I don't know. Have you Googled her?
I'm doing it right now.
That was a surprise for me.
Her coming back?
I don't know. I just didn't. It was such a kind of like write off character last year.
Which I think we were pretty upset about because of the fact that of her name.
Yes. Wait, yeah. Yes. You are seriously talking about one of
the most important characters in all of DC. Like legitimate guys. Like we're not making this shit up. Like Talia al Ghul is monstrous in the DC universe. Like she has a very large implication in everything.
For her to just kind of be
a throwaway. Yeah.
It was just like, I'm kind of glad they were back. But so what? We know everything is done intentionally.
Right.
On the show. You know, what is this League of Heroes?
I don't know, dude, but I'm going to tell you right now, it sounded like a bag of dicks to me. I was like, wait a second, what?
Like, League of Heroes is like, I was confused because we have the Legion of Heroes. Like, there's other things going on, and the Legion exists in Supergirl. Like, I was just wondering what is it? Like, these things aren't throwaway comments.
You can't say shit like that.
Is this going to be like a thing for the Canaries to call on if they need help?
Oh, God.
No, I'm just, you know what I mean?
Yes.
If, like, the theory of they brought Mia forward or back.
Right.
So we could stay in this time period and then they could call on Speedy and Talia when they need stuff or at least have those characters open. Because I think that's what we would get out of them bringing it forward is that technically we still could bring back other characters.
Hmm. I mean, that makes sense, right? That makes sense. It's like what we're setting this all up now. Like, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're looking for a life after Arrow.
I get that, but like this is stuff we should have been setting up like last season too.
Yeah, but then we would have been like the do we ever buy that all of a sudden the League of Shadows is now going to be the League of Heroes?
No.
Like all of a sudden it's just like, "Oh, we could be together." And it's like and everybody's like, "Yay, we're together."
Ugh. God, that sounds horrible.
Ugh. I don't know.
It's a good idea. I'm not knocking your idea.
No.
I'm just saying, like, in general, like, it's the timing makes sense, but it also at the same time, it's like, God, this just seems like kind of out of nowhere. So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel, dude.
Yeah.
You just can't say League of Heroes and then, like, it not pan out. So it has to be a thing. So I think you're on the right track. I
think they can say that kind of stuff just because it leaves the door open for all this.
It can be used because they said it kind of thing.
Yeah. Like we didn't write them off and we know what they're going to do. And if we ever have to call back, it's just like, oh, this existed. And, you know, think of comic book reality wise. Remember, it's like you see this. You're like, you want to know more about the League of Heroes? Go to Arrow season 8, episode 3.
God.
But you think about, right?
They're literally using like the tie-in issue kind of fucking
right? Like mentality. If you I am technically like when they set these things up, you know, they could always call back. So,
I mean, it makes sense.
But we Indiana Jones'd a lot this week.
We did. I actually dug that. I actually kind of liked that. I was okay with that. I didn't even make an Indiana Jones fucking joke.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, dude.
Everything about it. And it was just like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Well, I always like that kind of like the
adventure type thing. Like,
yeah.
I think National Treasure is an underrated movie.
100% underrated, dude. Fantastic flick.
And like, we don't have those.
We don't get
adventure type things. Like, you got to figure, like, back when we were kids, it's Goonies. It's Indiana Jones.
Honestly, you know what the last one we got was? Fucking Jumanji.
True.
Jumanji was the last one we got. And
Which
was surprising because I thought it was going to be a bag of shit, but it wasn't. It was awesome. And I think that
bag of shit because three whores are in it.
Oh my God.
What? Those three people will do whatever the money. Kevin Hart, The Rock, and Jack Black.
I mean, you're not wrong.
They're looking for paychecks.
Yeah, but
you know, I always love when they're like, "The Rock is the highest paid actor in the world." Well, so would I if I had 15 jobs like a Jamaican.
Well, it's like when everyone, you know, everyone's like, Westbrook makes, you know, averages 40 points a game. I'm like, motherfucker, I could score 40 if I got 50 shots off. I mean, I'd hit half of them, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, that whole style, like, I'm a big sucker for Indiana Jones anyways. So that whole style was really cool. I did enjoy the temples. The layouts were pretty cool too. Like, I think they looked legitimately cool. The sets.
I also like the fact that one of the members just got stuck on the stone and it just kept fucking blowing fire. So they couldn't get out.
That was actually kind of funny.
You know,
those, just kept getting roasted.
Yeah, those type of things. It was just like Oliver looking back and grabbing the bow and just like, okay, well, here we go. So, again, I dig the adventure part of it.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are going on, again, really heavily mission based and, you know, going for whatever they're going for. And
we still don't know the ultimate goal of like what they're doing. Like, obviously, well,
this one was trying to find, you know, the
sword, right?
Well, and also the, you know, to get the book.
Right.
So.
Hey, man. I mean, we need to, like, I'm curious what Monitor's fucking ultimate goal here is with, obviously, he's Oliver's his bitch and he's doing his, running his errands for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, I'd like to know exactly what's going on here. But hey, you know, whatever. Keep us in the dark.
Yep.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to come back to our final thoughts and our ratings of the episode. First, a quick break.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
You're not embarrassed because you don't remember if you didn't. Okay.
I didn't pull my dick out.
Are you sure? If you only remember 30%, how do you know that?
The 30% I remember is not whipping my dick out.
How do you know that during that 70%?
That's the 30 I remember. I didn't whip my dick out.
I remember 30% of the night. And that was the entire time she claims we did something.
Yeah.
Open and shut case.
Okay, so
Ryan, there's 70% that you don't remember.
But I remember not whipping my dick out. That's 100%.
There's 70% you don't know.
30% of what I remember,
the other part you might have whipped it out.
30% of what I remember is 100% I didn't pull my dick out.
That is the worst.
To Mike's point, though, in 9 months, you get a text message saying it's yours. You change that phone number.
Well, obviously, dude, I'm getting a brand new phone number.
You know, it's your baby.
I'm going to be like, no, it's not.
It's your baby, Ryan. I know you.
I don't come.
I know you ain't no mama.
I don't come.
If she could pick your dick out of a lineup, though, then you would know that you pulled it.
I swear to God, I'm naming him after his great-great-grandfather, Tyrone. He could be Tyrone Denton. He told me everything the night we talked.
Is my dick black? Have I not seen my dick in a while? My dick got black somehow. I don't.
Don't you deny me!
Oh my God, the baby.
You're my boo.
Oh my God.
I was sending you messages. And they said delivered. I know you have an iOS device. I have an iOS device. You're in love with me.
You'd be fucked.
This is fucked up, dude.
But I followed you on Facebook.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Hey, DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows, please share with your friends and review. With every share and review, you help our show climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Hungry.
Yeah, hungry.
we're the number one TV review show in Hungary.
Yeah, if you guys weren't aware, and if you're listening, Hungry, thank you.
Yes.
For making us your number one.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know how to say that in Hungarian, but I can look it up on Google Translate someday. Eventually.
Aw, people say he's just a pretty face.
Final thoughts in the episode. This was another pretty solid episode. Again, we obviously had some questions, you know, with as far as the time travel stuff. And I think we always have those questions in any of the Arrowverse shows when we start delving into time travel.
It's a scary thing.
It's a scary thing because we always talk about it, but it can make or break what you're doing. And this one, again, we don't know until obviously the next episode how this is going to pan out. But so far, I really dig it. I think the thing that, you know, last year we were really kind of pissed off about the future stuff. And so far, the future stuff hasn't been bad. And obviously, they're going to be now, I assume they're back in the present time. But it hasn't been bad. And I've actually enjoyed what I'm seeing. I tell you what, dude, Stephen Amell is a goddamn actor. And every scene that he has a goodbye with someone is like the most heartfelt thing I've ever seen on TV. And it pulls my fucking heart out of my chest every single time. I can't say enough good things about, you know, just what he's doing. I mean, you can see the emotion in his face when he does this. But the episode was cool. I think we talked about it. You know, we talked about the Indiana Jones vibe that we got from this one, which made sense for Nanda Parbat. I mean, we've always seen it be kind of like a weird, like temple-y, weird mystic area. And it makes sense for them to do this type of episode with what's going on. The Talia thing, again, I don't know if it's a throwaway or not, but it was a little bit of a, just out of the blue. Even though she is an incredibly huge character in the DC universe, the other one that really threw me off was the other chick that they introduced. And she was so irrelevant that I can't even remember her name. I don't even know. The one that was running the league. I don't know her name. Whatever. That one was a little concerning because now you just brought in a brand new character out of nowhere. Like, was a little weird to me, but as far as the pacing goes, the episode was paced really well. I thought some of the shots were really fucking cool. You know, with the fire and the I think they were staffs or whatever. Like, they weren't poison darts. They were like actual full blown staffs, like flying over the place after they stepped on the pressure pad.
Yeah.
So there's some pretty legit scenes.
Okay. the staffs that flew across that path. Like, where did those shoot from?
I have no idea. I didn't question it.
This is like a 1994 Nintendo game. Like,
out of nowhere.
Yeah. You're just like, or the old Atari game, the jungle, whatever. Yeah. Yeah,
well, dude, like, when I was a kid, I never made it to Bowser. And I always was like, why the fuck are these flames just flying out of nowhere? And then, like, as a, like, you know, you get older and you get to the end. And you're
I
like,
turned 30
oh.
And I got to the end.
Yeah. I got 30 and then I finally made it to the end. But I just like, yeah, I don't know. I glossed over that one, you know.
They were shooting. I was just laughing. I was like, damn, those things just keep shooting out of nowhere.
It was like the same path, too, to like fly into another hole and then get like redistributed like, out of another hole. Like,
it's a pretty high tech thing going on there, Goonies.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit, man. I don't know. What did you think, Bob, about the episode?
Did you give it a number?
I did not give it a number yet. I was waiting.
No, you give it a number, then I go.
Rules. Fine. I'm going to give this one a 71. So it moves it into the hell yeah category on the lowest possible. It is a thumbs up for me. I did enjoy the episode.
So you went from a number to a hell yes to a thumbs up.
Well, that's what it says on our thing. I'm reading our review. 71 to 90% equals hell yeah.
Where did you see thumbs that? Up.
I'm reading the actual Rain Man digital review score system.
Jesus, I run the damn thing. I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh my God. Did you even know that?
No.
I'll send it to you.
No, I'm good. Seven bananas.
Oh, I give it 7 Flurblix.
Out of how many? No.
36? I don't know. Oh my God. I can't believe you've never seen that.
I probably have. I probably helped write it. I just tend not to pay attention after I do stuff.
All right, whatever. Anyways.
Or approved it. I've probably seen it. I don't know. Back to the show, now that you know that I'm somewhat in charge of stuff and an idiot. I would give it a 70.
Okay. In case you're wondering, that is It's a Movie / Thumb Sideways Like a Gladiator.
Yes, it's a TV show. And my markdowns, because we talked about everything great, are I really can't stand Mia. Like, I can't stand when she's on the screen and she just gets all blah, 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 and it's just like, it's one of those things that's, and when you take up 10, 15 minutes of your showtime with that, I just don't want to deal with that. And, you know, they do so many things that I just don't understand her behavior of while she did it. And she got a member killed because of it.
I think that it's not her. It's not the actress, right? It's the way she's written.
I've never seen the, I'm just drawn bad.
She's Jessica Rabbit. I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way. Oh, Jesus Christ.
How many movie references can we put in one show? Dude,
we've done so many.
It's just I have no comparison because I've never seen Maze Runner, which is, I think, the other major thing she's been.
No, I've seen it. It wasn't bad.
But I don't even know how much of a acting role she had in Maze Runner because I think it's based around a dude.
It is. The main character is a guy.
Okay. And so I can't, like, I have no basis of comparison, I guess.
Yeah.
So I can't say if it's acted bad or written bad, but it's bad for me either way. And, you know, they can keep hitting in the feels and keep bringing back characters and giving everybody their swan song and saying goodbye to Oliver on screen, because that's what I like. That's what I'm digging on. Again, this episode could go up or down in the future,
depending on what happens.
Depending
later.
On the rollout of time travel or whatever the fuck happened.
Right.
Our worlds combine. I don't know. Because that's a touchy subject that's put Flash on skates downhill. very much fast. because it's hard to make sense of.
Right. So, I think you're right, dude. I think you're on the right track. So I gave it a 71. You gave it a 70. I mean, C's get degrees, guys.
D's get degrees. They just don't transfer.
Right. You can't transfer credit, right? You can't get into the next set of classes.
I wasn't going to master's degree anyways.
Yeah, fuck it. Who cares? Anyways, guys, that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Arrow Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future episodes on DCOnRMD.com. Follow us on our social medias. And with that, guys, remember, rate and review the show. And $1. For the love of God, $1. Please, put it in my G-string.
Or more.
Mother of God, would you look at the time when you came here? You had an hour.